8.
Isn't it nice? He gave us a warning.
8 seconds.
He gave us a warning. Okay. That was nice.
Now there we go. 8 seconds. Hey everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Make it the day make sense. That's our jam.
It is a jam. I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us for What Did We Miss Monday, where we talk about today's news and get you caught up on some of the big stories that happened over the weekend.
It is kind of our jam, right? I mean, come on. It's me trying to be hip, but it kind of is what we do, right?
You are totally hip, Kai.
Podcast. Yes. Coolest dude thank ever. You. Thank you very much for that. All right. Anyway, so there is still, and I think will be for the foreseeable future, but we should probably have a conversation amongst ourselves editorially about what we don't talk about because we're talking about the war, and we've alluded to that. But in my money, I think the war in Ukraine is still the number one story, right? Yes,
yeah,
no,
it's huge. Okay. I mean, it's right. because it's bringing in the rest of the world. I mean, getting closer and closer to Poland with those airstrikes, and that just opens up a new can of worms. Talking about the risk of chemical weapons.
Yeah. And some of the pictures that came out this weekend, and then the AP's story this morning on the pregnant woman who had died along with her baby. All this news is just horrible. And
I guess we're mentioning a lot of this stuff second reference, so let me back up a little bit. So the pregnant woman who died last week, there was a bombing of a children's hospital that had a maternity ward. And so there were a lot of photos that came out of women being evacuated, including one woman who was being carried out on a stretcher after the attack, and she died. And that is one of the pieces of news that came out over the weekend. There have been multiple reports that there is a risk of Russia using chemical weapons in Ukraine, and that is something that has a lot of people concerned and has especially NATO allies saying that that could be a red line, the use of chemical weapons. And so that was that part. And then what was the other thing that we mentioned sort of secondhand?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe go ahead.
So that's a really good point. I mean, no. Well, I'm just thinking we're too far down deep in it, as you know, obsessive followers of the news, and it's a good lesson for me to just remember that not everybody is, and that's probably the more sane move in these not very mentally healthy times. You know.
Yeah. I mean, look. I was talking to one of my friends over the weekend. She was like, "Yeah, I just turned it off," and she was saying how she like doesn't understand how I can look at this stuff all of the time and just pay attention to the news all the time. And I was like, that's why I watch a lot of anime in my downtime.
That's right. Okay, but let us move into some things that are tangentially interesting or will help you fill out your knowledge of the war, or frankly have nothing to do with the war. And I've got three, one of which is straight up related to the war. The Peterson Institute for International Economics, which is a really good and often cited think tank in Washington, an observer of the international economic scene, they have, just because I frankly cover this stuff all the time and I get lost in it, they've got a great timeline on the sanctions that have been put onto Russia. And if you want to know exactly where we stand, I highly recommend this. We're going to put it on the show page, but it started coming out today, and they've got all kinds of stuff in there, and it's really, really useful, and it's about the finances, it's about individuals, it's about imports and exports, travel, all kinds of stuff. Totally, highly recommend that. And Peterson and Chad Bound, specifically, the guy who does a lot of their international trade stuff, is really, really good. So that's item one for me. Yes, ma'am.
And it's got really cool filters where you can filter by the type of sanctions, you can filter by the government that's imposing the sanction. It's a really useful resource.
Yeah. Okay, item two on my list. Hey, you know how we all think the pandemic's over? It's not.
That wee's doing a lot again.
and the sewage stuff that everybody was looking at, all the experts were looking at, you know, last time there was a wave. Well, guess what? Those indicators are ticking back up for a lot of spots in the Northeast. I also saw that numbers in Europe are ticking back up. We are not done. Although, interestingly, masks at my kid's high school today were no longer required. And the early word from the ninth grader and the senior in high school is about 50% of kids had their masks off, 50% kept them on. We ain't done yet. Just for the bleeping record. Just for the record.
Yeah.
We're not done yet.
Yeah.
We're not done yet. And it just, it, Every time this happens, you feel like the rug's getting yanked out from under you because you're like, hey, life is normal and I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to do this and that. And you're not, you know, or you are, and it's just not going to be normal is the deal. So I don't know.
Yeah. This has been going on, and I think everywhere, like noticing which people immediately stopped wearing their masks and who sort of continues. I'm in the continue camp. I'm still wearing my mask everywhere.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's really interesting because you go into the local Piggly Wiggly and there's probably, I would say, like 10-ish percent of people are maskless, and a good portion of them, 90-something percent, are still wearing the masks, of which I am one, for sure. I don't need to get this freaking disease. That's all I'm saying. Last one, which is a little bit of tomorrow's news today. The Federal Reserve, the Federal Open Market Committee, meets tomorrow and Wednesday. They will be discussing interest rates. And unless the sun explodes, Jay Powell is going to have a press conference on Wednesday afternoon in which he says, hang on a minute, I'll give you a good in case the sun explodes story in 2 seconds. But Jay Powell on Wednesday afternoon is going to announce an interest rate increase of 25 basis points, which is to say 1/4 percentage point, and it will begin the process of raising rates throughout this year. But there is a story in the New York Times today. I think Gina did it, Gina Smilek. Gina and somebody else too. No, it was all Gina, who's one of our Friday regulars, about the jam that Powell finds himself in and how he may, depending on how things go, have to emulate one of his economic heroes, Paul Volcker. And the problem with emulating that particular hero in a time of inflation is that Paul Volcker cranked interest rates up way high in the early 1980s to break the back of what was then rampant inflation, like double the 7.5%, 8% we have now. And it's just, it's not going to be great if Powell has to do that. And I'm just, keep your eyes out. So the sun explodes. So my daughter, who's now 14, when she was like 5, we were driving somewhere and she was being really, really pokey. She was just like, dee, 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 dee. And I'm like, babe, come on, get in the car. We got to go. Come on, before the
you
sun explodes. And
she pokey
looks
like
at me.
Moving slowly?
Yeah, pokey like moving slowly.
Okay.
Is that not a thing you say?
I've not heard it. Being really I've pokey. Heard slow poke, oh. but I'd never heard oh. pokey
right.
like that way.
All right,
but
she
go
was
ahead.
Being really pokey. She was being really pokey. And I'm like, sweetie, come on, we got to go. Let's go before the sun explodes, will you? And she looks at me with this expression of horror on her face. And she said, Dad, the sun's going to explode? And for the next 15 minutes, I had to calm her down and say, yes, in 5 billion years, the sun's going to explode. But every now and then, when she wants to jerk my chain, she says, Dad, come on, before the sun explodes. Anyway, that's my little story.
You said, you know, the sun exploding, it reminded me of this story that I saw that this week there's supposed to be several geomagnetic storms hitting the Earth,
which come
from the sun, like solar flares. And there's like solar flares and coronal mass ejections and a lot of them. Ooh. And so we're supposed to get a bunch of geomagnetic storms this week. So the sun is actually exploding. I mean, the sun's technically always exploding.
Yes, that's true. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. I'll have to tell my daughter that. All right. Anyway, so that's what I got.
All right.
Over to you.
All right. Well, since I started off with space, let me go ahead and keep going with space, because today NASA was doing all sorts of fun things with its Artemis 1. All right. How do I even explain this? Okay. So Artemis 1 is the mission that is the first stage of the larger series of Artemis missions that is supposed to return humankind to the moon via NASA and private contractors as well. And this is the mission where they said that they're going to have the first woman to step foot on the moon, the first person of color to set foot on the moon. And so the mission has several stages to it. And this stage is where they're going to send an uncrewed mission to start, like, setting stuff up, and it's really cool, and there are rockets involved as per usual, and so there's videos and
as one does when one goes to the moon.
And so so today was a big day for that, rolling out some of that stuff that I think
that's cool.
is going to be interesting to watch, because like when they announced it was a huge deal, but like now they're all the sort of steps leading up to actually getting people back to the moon. But it is happening. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. My other thing is also pandemic related, similar to yours, which is that it's not over. But also in the New York Times, they have they've been going to a bunch of different people to sort of do retrospectives on it's been two mm-hmm. years into this pandemic and what are some of the things that we've learned. And there is a piece that came out over the weekend where it basically talks about all of the different points in the pandemic where it could have been mitigated and how many of the lives lost were unnecessary had we done something different. Now, of course, hindsight is 2020, but you can look at key moments throughout the pandemic where different choices would have led to many, many fewer deaths. And it's a bit of grim reading, but as we think about how we respond to future waves and future pandemics, I think it is important to kind of take a second and or even more than a second to look at where we fell down mm-hmm. in this response. I know we're going long. So another thing I read over the weekend that was super interesting in the Washington Post has a long piece about this one particular county board of elections that basically got caught up in the big lie about election fraud and basically had the entire membership turned over to people who are basically pretty open about the fact that they think the election mm-hmm. was stolen. And now it's become, this board of elections has become like way more political. And the larger point of the story is that this is happening all over the country, where these offices and these individuals and these positions that people maybe never paid attention to until election day are being transformed. And that may make, you know, we celebrated all these election workers mm-hmm. in the 2020 election for sort of sticking to their guns and saying that, no, this election wasn't stolen. No, we did our jobs right. This is fine. And that may not happen next time around because of all these changes happening at the local level.
As Joseph Stalin and the former president of the United States have said, it's not so much the voters as it is who counts the votes. So that I actually think you should do this other one that you've got in there. Truly
This is a really interesting one. So this is about the war. And there's a piece in The Guardian. It's been reported a bunch of other places. So state TV in Russia has been in pretty intense propaganda mode throughout all of this. And there are really strict rules in Russia about what you can and cannot say about. They don't even call it a war. What do they call it? Like a incident or
special
something?
Special operation. Special military.
Special operations.
Yeah.
And so on state TV, one of the employees, I think it was an editor, basically jumps on set during one of the live mm-hmm. broadcasts and holds up a sign saying end to the war and saying that they're lying to you and shouting. And they cut away from it, but not before a lot of people saw it. And to see this level, like somebody at that level speaking out that openly and, of course, immediately arrested and will probably be charged and potentially faces years and years in prison, if not worse, it really is, you know, revealing of some of the pushback that's happening within Russia to this conflict. Now, granted, it's hard to see and get a sense of how widespread it is, but it's certainly happening. And it's a really astonishing story.
Totally agree.
That was a
totally
lot of stuff to catch up on.
Well, look, I mean, you know, there's a lot of news. A lot of news.
Busy weekend.
All right, Juan Carlos, hit it. All right, real quick. On Mondays, we share the Make Me Smiles that all y'all have sent to us. Last week, we noted we were a little light on submissions. You delivered, so thank you very much for that. Jody from Minneapolis sent us this note. Here's what she said. This Instagram family lifts my spirits every time. Here's one of the best yet. And she included a link to a video of this family's four-year-old wearing a tutu, having a great time doing some nighttime snowboarding, even under less than optimal snowboarding conditions. We will, of course, put a link to that on our show page, because who does not need a four-year-old in a tutu snowboarding? I'm just saying.
Have you seen that video of the kids snowboarding where they mic'd him up and he's just sort of like narrating his snowboarding adventure?
Yes.
So cute.
Yeah. It's
so
awesome.
Cute.
It's awesome.
It's like at the end, he falls over and he's like, I'm a stuckosaurus. He's stuck in the snow. So cute. Okay.
Yeah.
And from San Francisco, listener Friday, who also had that question about bonds for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, also shared a Make Me Smile. Someone just told me about this group called SFM Bloom, and I can't stop smiling. They go around and plant native wildflowers, guerrilla style, using kitchen shakers. I think for my birthday this year, I'll go with them on a flower planting bike ride. So awesome.
That's a super good idea, actually. I love that. Wildflowers are cool. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's what I got. That's what I got. All right. And on that, with some very serious and somber news and a couple of light things to send you on your way, we're done. Tomorrow, we are doing corporate consolidation in this economy, what it is meaning now and what it might mean in the future, because, oh, look, corporate consolidation is not slowing down. You're going to want to check that out.
Yeah. And we do always want to hear from you. So if you have an idea for a Make Me Smile or a question you want us to answer, please send us a voice memo and an email to makemesmart@marketplace.org. Or you can call and leave a voice message at 508-UB-SMART.
That's good. Don't even have to cue on Carlos for that one. He's like, yeah, no, I'm on.
He's got it.
Right now. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera with help from Mark K. Green. Today's program was engineered by Juan Carlos Toronto.
And our senior producer is Bridget Bodner, and the director of On Demand is Donna Tam. That almost rhymes. Director of On Demand
almost.
Is Donna Tam.
On Demand, almost. Donna Tam.
On Demand, Donna Tam.